At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Jeff Parlay is here as well, producer number 5 and 8. So ended up hitting the Bengals pre-flop, +4.5, Bengals in-game, +3.5. No missed extra point, -330, does cash. By the way, it was Sugar House that graded that incorrectly, not PointsBet. Pardon me, PointsBet, my apologies. So check on that, those who had Sugar House accounts. And missed on the no touchback. No, you know, I said no, that there would be no touchback on the opening kickoff. And again, 1-2 yards into the end zone. And Powell was told, he's like, hey, listen, if this goes over your head, don't touch it. And so could have easily been returned, but it wasn't.
Can I just
lose that one?
Can I throw something out on that real quick?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you caught this while you were doing the betcast yesterday. During the Rocks, whatever that, the introduction.
What was that? We couldn't figure it out.
The introduction to the game. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was one camera shot in particular where McPherson was actually able to get his hands on the ball. And I don't want to say compress like normal, but it definitely he had a chance to at least see what he was kicking, which seems to be different than what it normally is there, Gil. So
yeah, interesting.
I knew as soon as
I found out that McPherson was the one, you know, the Bengals were going to be kicking off, I was like, oh no. But that's why you don't bet it at a coin flip. That's why betting it at plus money was the only play. By the way, the Joe Burrow get up before the game, has he gone a little overboard for you? A little too cocky for your taste, Joe Burrow? Some of the other props, of course, the national anthem, Mickey Guyton soaring over. She went to 150, 151, 1 minute 51 seconds by some accounts. You could tell her last note, at least we could tell with no audio. She was just milking. So the over hits, we were all over the over there. What we weren't over was the first song at halftime. I was surmising that it would be California Love. Crack immediately took me off it. He goes, it's not the first song. And so then I figured it would be Lose Yourself by Eminem. It ends up being Snoop and Dre's The Next Episode. The first song played in the set. Next Episode followed by California Love. Then 50 Cent with his smash into Club. Then Mary J. got two songs, Family Affair and No More Drama, which were two curious choices for Mary J. Blige, by the way. Kendrick Lamar with a couple songs. He was on too long. Then Eminem with Forgot About Dre and Lose Yourself. Anderson .Paak was on drums for him. And then Snoop and Dre, Keep Your Head Up. And still Dre closing it out. But the winner for first song, The Next Episode, did not have that. Jason Weingarten is here, ladies and gentlemen, from Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern California. I'm not sure if he slept. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good. I slept for a bit. I'm too old to stay up all night anymore.
So you,
I tried. I made it to like 1 o'clock, 1:30. It's like, all right, let's go home. It's time.
Did you end up at a Rams party at all? Anything?
I did. I made it to the Rams after party for a bit. It was quite the event. They don't spare any expenses. They treat their organization. It's a top notch organization. So now, from top to bottom.
Have we ever said on air what your tie in is to the Rams? Do we want to say on air what your tie in is to the Rams? Are we allowed to?
I mean, it's not a secret, yeah. But no, I don't talk about it very often.
Okay.
But.
All right. He's a hookup with the Rams. Let's just put it that way, where he gets into Rams party. Who made a scene of themselves at the party? Are you allowed to share that with us?
You know, I'm not cool enough to know anybody very famous to point them out. I wish I could tell you, like, that I saw.
I meant on the
Drake
Rams themselves. Anybody?
What? No? I mean, I saw the Rams. Yeah, I saw some of the players. Yeah, I didn't like talk to them very much. I did want to see the punter and ask him if he had practiced a trick play though, but I didn't get a chance.
Oh, did you? So what props did you? What of your outlandish props that you have? And I just don't say outlandish derisively because I don't mean it that way. I mean the fact that you took some shots, right? You took some 300-to-1s, 250-to-1s. What was the longest thing that you hit yesterday?
I think 14-to-1. Any non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass? Thank you, Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon on the halfback option. Yes.
Besides that, the over 2.5 people to throw a pass came in. I wish there was an over 3.5 people to throw a pass. That would have been a nice little one.
Well,
general, my long shots did not do much yesterday.
Yeah, we would have had the over 3.
That's why they're long shots.
Yeah, that's why they're long shots. We would have had the over 3.5 because Cooper Kupp attempted that pass that he sailed over Matthew Stafford's head. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about also with yesterday's game, Jason, I'll just bring it up with you here, is, you know, because we went through the last sequence of both the last drives of the game. We talked about how there were no flags, and then all of a sudden there was a flag on that final drive. You know, the fact that that botched extra point really dictated the rest of the game and that it perhaps helped the Rams in some strange way because it kept McVay from being super conservative at the end, which, you know, is his MO. But one of the things we didn't talk about here, Jeff, and I'll bring in Jason as well for this, is the fact that both quarterbacks looked to have had horrible leg injuries and somehow both stayed in the game. Like, if that was a regular season game, would either of them have stayed in the game?
No, well, Joe Burrow was playing with a torn ACL or something.
Is that the word?
No, I haven't seen it.
They haven't said torn ACL, but he was playing through something. I mean, he clearly, I mentioned this to my dad who was sitting next to me. I was like, look, he can't move anymore. Like, most of the sacks came in the second half when he had no mobility.
I mean, his leg would have to be a noodle for something happened.
Something was clearly wrong with him. Stafford, I didn't notice. Did Stafford get hurt?
Jeff's got some.
Yeah, so Stafford had DJ Reader fell on his ankle, and yeah. Reader's a nice 370, so that's not what you want falling on his ankle. Look, Stafford has played through horrible injuries plenty of times in his career, so I'm not surprised he didn't come out. Burrow, I mean, we saw the scream. I mean, that looked horrible.
Yeah. He's screaming on the ground, right? Like, both of them. Like, and you're just like, there's no way he's coming back in the game. Yep, didn't miss a snap. Didn't miss a snap. And then OBJ, of course, with a non-contact injury, he couldn't continue. But that was that was the other amazing thing about this game, because you're like, what are we watching? Like, these guys are just, because you can't, and it's also not, you know, we sometimes joke, we're like, oh, they got a shot of the good stuff on the sidelines. But as Mike Pritchard said on the BetCast yesterday, who's played the game, it's like that stuff doesn't kick in that quickly, right? So you don't get that benefit late in football games. That doesn't work that way. So that was an amazing part of it as well. The in-game experience was great at SoFi. Jason, would you go to
amazing.
Another Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, It's just such a nice stadium. It was awesome to be there. The game, the Bengals fans showed up. It wasn't.
What would you say the percentage breakdown was?
51% Bengals, 49 Rams. Maybe.
Oh, wow.
It was very, very Bengal heavy. Surprisingly.
Interesting. Yeah, that's always fascinating. The only Super Bowl I went to, and by the way, I didn't get to a great place like L.A. I ended up in Minneapolis for Washington's third of three Super Bowl victories, where I vowed afterwards, I'm like, I'm never missing another Skins Super Bowl. Never. And I've kept my promise all these years, obviously. But that was overrun by Bills fans, right? Like, it was like 70% Bills, 30% Washington. And I may be being generous to Washington fans, who, by the way, travel well. But the Bills were just, oh, my God, they overran that place. So 51-49 in favor of the Bengals. What do you think about Sean McVay and the rumors of him just saying he might hang? Not, he didn't say this, but the reports that he might hang it up.
Yo, I mean, when you're a football player or any athlete or a coach, you don't often get to decide how it is that your career ends, and it doesn't often end on a high note. So having the opportunity to decide your future after winning a championship is always a pretty great spot to be in. And a lot of players and smart coaches recognize that going out as a champion is more important than sticking around and, you know, making $10, $12 million a season for a couple more years and not you know, getting back to that mountaintop. So I think there's a lot of players and, you know, McVay who are going to sit down in the next week or two and determine their future and see if playing football and coaching football continues to make sense for them, or if they're happy to walk away as a champion and do other things for a bit. You know, if McVay wants to go and be a broadcaster for 2 or 3 years, there's going to be, you know, teams lined up around the block to hire him. Absolutely. When he's ready to come back to coach. Stafford, I think Stafford should seriously consider retiring. I mean, he's won a championship. His body is, you know, physically destroyed from football. What else does he have to prove? I'd encourage him to retire if he was my friend.
Aaron Donald. Know. Some people, the rumor that Aaron Donald might be considering retirement as well. You know, having
exactly. Having, I mean, what does he have left to prove? He's one of the most dominant defensive tackles left in the NFL. He just took over the game and won a championship. And do you need to come back and keep playing football to prove anything to anybody? You know, so some of these guys have serious decisions to make, and it's about more than money for them. So, you know, if anybody decides to retire after winning a championship, I'll never blame them.
Which then begs the question, Jason, and this is with all that surrounding the Rams up in the air, free agency is going to happen here in short time, then the draft. Do you even look to make any NFL futures bets before all of that transpires?
No. I mean, you see a lot of people, you know, the Broncos were a popular one because they're speculating that Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded to the Broncos. I don't personally buy that at all. I think if he comes back with Green Bay and loads up for one more run at this point. But no, I mean, I'm on to baseball. I'll take today off, you know. I'll do a podcast later today because I got a lot to talk about.
There, but you go. Wide, you know, world of
got a day off, about maybe a day and a half off. And by tomorrow, I'll be back betting baseball. I already got some stuff I'm ready to.
Baseball,
get moving on.
Major League Baseball or Dominican Baseball? What are we talking about?
No, Major League. I mean, there's a couple futures I'm still interested in, regardless of if we play 162 or 140 or 120 games. I'm still interested in it, and it's stuff I will talk about either today or tomorrow on the podcast, explaining what I'm planning on doing, how I'm doing it, etc. But okay. It's baseball season now, so it's time to start betting baseball.
Wide World of Weingarten, he's not deterred by baseball shenanigans, at least at this point. Tune in wherever podcasts are available. Jason, appreciate it. Get some sleep, man.
Thank you. Go Rams. It was a great football season. I was happy to be here all the time.
Jason Weingarten. Well, between Drew and Jason, just a Rams cavalcade. We will talk about Super Bowl futures for Super Bowl 57 next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You could trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, VSiN has a great new offer that can only be described as madness. Don't let me catch you describing it otherwise. You get VSiN All Access to everything we do from now through the College Basketball Championship on April 4th for only $29. Sign up now and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. This deal only happens once a year, so don't miss out. Visit VSiN.com/madness to sign up today. Gil Alexander, Jeff Barlay here, producer number 5 and 8. Jeff, my brain has toggled. I will tell you, 1 week before a Super Bowl is too little time to hype it up. 2 weeks is too much. 10 days is probably perfect, but you can't play a Super Bowl on a Wednesday, right? So it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out with calendar. But like 2 weeks, my brain had already toggled. First of all, I'm betting tennis rampantly globally 24/7 anyway. Like seriously, all around the clock. But like tennis, my brain is already on tennis and golf. It's already gone to college basketball. So again, it never stops. And March Madness, the distance between the Super Bowl and March Madness narrows every year, with the Super Bowl drifting every year. And so we'll be in conference tournaments in a matter of a few weeks.
It's 27 days till Selection Sunday now.
By the way, I have a hookup with the West Coast Conference tournament, so you and me are going to be attending those games.
That's good.
In all kinds of good seats.
That's good. It'll be us and 9 billion Gonzaga fans.
That's exactly right it'll be. We will be rooting for Pepperdine. Let me tell you that right off the hand. Okay, so first of all, and speaking of that, how much waste management did you pick up this weekend? The Phoenix Open.
I picked up a little more than I usually do. Granted, first off, the stadium hole is the greatest spectacle in golf, period. But
the stadium hole followed by the great par four afterwards, right? So Scottie Scheffler wins it in a playoff against Patrick Cantlay. And because it went to a playoff, it sort of bled into the Super Bowl. And so we were sort of watching it on a screen while we were watching the first quarter of the Super Bowl. But so let me just ask you this. By the way, Brooks Koepka finished a shot back. So did Xander Schauffele. It was just Thigala was a shot back. Our own Brian Rogers had like a 300-1 on Thigala. He didn't quite get there. But I think, did Wes Reynolds hit on Scheffler? I think he did again.
He did.
Good for Wes, man.
Good day for Wes Reynolds. Had the Rams future and that.
Good for him. I had Max Homa. Homa didn't quite get there yesterday. He finished 11 under 5 back. But my question to you about the Waste Management Open, it is, so next year, the Super Bowl is going to be in Glendale. And it's going to be the same week, obviously, as Waste Management, which is right there. First of all, we should all be down there. That's the first thing. Secondly, do you love that so much that you would want other golf tournaments on tour to encourage a raucous atmosphere? Or do you like that it's that tournament alone and makes that tournament special?
I like the second thing. I think that makes it unique. You have to, in order to make a dent the week of the Super Bowl, you need to have a unique, the totally unique environment like that. And I think it's perfect. I also think, Gil, that moving forward, and we saw it a few weeks ago, where they moved the golf tournament to a Wednesday to Saturday.
That was awesome.
They should, during the NFL playoffs,
100%.
The PGA should move all their events to being Wednesday through Saturday.
I agree. I agree. And that scene on Saturday when Sam Ryder had the hole-in-one was just phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from FG379. I hope I'm saying that right. It was talking about, no extra points. Was an extra point missed? He said, thanks, I have disputed the settlement. He's talking about over at Sugar House. I have disputed the settlement as they have provided no acceptable explanation why they graded it as a loss and are disregarding the official box score, which had the play in dispute as a failed two-point conversion attempt. It's not a missed extra point. I don't know what else to tell you. It's you go by the box score. Dr. Bob, I thought Aaron Donald had a case to win MVP. How would you have voted MVP, Jeff? 1, 2, 3. How would you have voted it?
Donald 1, Cup 2, doesn't matter who 3 was. I guess Stafford would have been 3, but I had no problem with Cup. But
yeah.
If you had a Donald ticket today and you didn't get home, I would be frustrated.
It's brutal. I'd be frustrated, too. I would be. But like I said, we on primetime or on a betcast, me, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Mike Pritchard, we all thought it was Stafford. We really did. This is from Chuck _L44. Last drive seemed to seal it for Cup. Seemed like the natural choice. Donald was next likely. Agree there. This is from Mitch. I won't say the rest of his. He said it was close, I'm sure, but they don't win the game without Cooper on that fourth quarter drive. They really don't. Again, 84 total yards for the Rams between the Odell Beckham Jr. injury and that final drive, the go-ahead drive, and then 79 yards on that final drive, 46 of which Cup was responsible for. But, I mean, he did disappear for that whole game. But can you blame that on Cup? Because he was double-teamed the whole time. And then on that last drive, the Bengals kind of let the Rams off the hook, I thought. More tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate these. Chris Hartman, Gil, after Odell went down, I went since the in-game. but I took them on the money line instead of the 3.5 emoji where he smacks his forehead. How about the over-under of 52.5 at that point as well? Yeah, I saw it as high as 53. Kenny G, 5-4-2-1-5-3-7-9. Because apparently every number before that was taken on Kenny G. Gil, great job with the Billy Walters segment. Thank you. No thanks to me. That was all Brent Musburger, Jimmy Vaccaro. Their one-on-one interview with the legend that is Billy Walters. That is available on the website, VSiN.com. Round the clock. Check it out exclusively there. I just did a little intros and outros yesterday when we aired it for the first time. This is from This is from Forrest Lehman. I thought the spot on the Pirine run was horrible. Looked like he could have potentially got the first down, but was at least a half yard closer, and the Booth has to initiate that and didn't. Interesting. Did you think that on the Pirine third down run, right before the final play of the Bengals?
I didn't think the spot was great. He was clearly short.
Yeah, clearly short.
They probably weren't going to move it. If they would have moved it, they would have moved it a few inches. And with the Bengal play call, it wouldn't have mattered on fourth down.
Greg Lazarwitz sarcastically tweeting me, goes, "You mean after swallowing the whistle the entire game, NFL refs suddenly made several calls in their favor and ignored an obvious Rams false start in the Rams stadium on the NFL signature event? No way. Sincerely, St. Louis." Nice tweet, Greg. Nice job. Let's see here. Web 12-66. Analytics, is that what makes a coach go for it on fourth and one, scoreless game in the first quarter? Does anybody have the percentage of the other team scoring when you turn it over on the 50? It's not always analytics, ladies and gentlemen. Not always analytics. Chauncey Holt, 13 NFL and 3 college football playoff games, and last night was the only game where the number mattered. What are we really doing here? This is from Len Glow. Talking about basketball now. Gil, Steve Nash needs to go. He's really bad as a head coach. Just his body language shows he doesn't know how to coach. He may have been a decent player, but as a coach, he is not. Lenny. I can't really argue with that. He does nothing to impress me. Though he does foul up three late, which I like. You wanted to say something, Jeff? No? Johnny Ringo. Snoop not to smoke on stage. -120. Cash it. There you go. Available.
Surprised they got home.
A couple other football notes. We'll get to the Super Bowl futures here after Super Bowl 57 futures here after the break, courtesy of BetMGM, proud sponsors of this program. But a couple other notes yesterday. So the Raiders look like they're signing Derek Carr to an extension. That was the word from Ian Rapoport from the Rap Sheet. And then it does appear like the Colts are going to part ways with Carson Wentz, which I thought would be very difficult for the Colts given the very close relationship between he and Frank Reich. But the last 8 games of the Colts season, Carson Wentz threw a grand total of 10 touchdown passes and only threw for more than 225 yards once. And really, I mean, I hate to say it, was probably the only thing preventing this team from perhaps getting to the Super Bowl, man. Because they were, I mean, Jonathan Taylor and that defense, they were, I mean, they've got, and Darius Leonard might be, I mean, they've got unicorns on both sides of the ball. Just like they have Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald with the Rams, Jonathan Taylor and Darius Leonard are pretty great anchors for the Colts. You surprised by the fact that they're willing to get rid of Wentz that quickly?
From a football sense, absolutely not.
Me neither.
From the watching Hard Knocks and knowing how close they are.
They love each other.
Perspective, yeah, it's a little surprising, but look, Carson Wentz was, for the most part this year, mediocre to bad most of the entire season. So
you're being kind.
No, yeah. It's the day after the Super Bowl. I got to be a little bit nice. But look, the biggest quarterback thing, though, potentially, is that Arizona and Kyler Murray's relationship seems beyond fractured at this point.
That got out of hand, didn't it, quick? So people saying that he is immature and he's a finger pointer? And Kyler Murray, he did the old scrub his team from social media thing. Is that what you kids do with the social? You're like, hey, let me scrub you guys from my social. That'll teach them. Oh, the thin skin nature. Sound like I'm 100,000 years old. But so that's huge, right? And so let's keep all that in mind before we look at the Super Bowl futures here. Would you make any bet before free agency and the draft and all of this stuff shakes out?
No, you have to wait till free agency.
You do. You have to, right?
You have to wait till free agency. And look, there's going to be one team that's way down the board that maybe not in the Super Bowl like the Bengals, but someone that's going to at least win a playoff game way down the board next year.
I also want to get into this notion of everybody, you know, here we are the day after the Super Bowl, prisoner of the moment. Everybody thinks, oh, the Bengals will be back a lot of times. Yeah, I'm not so sure. We'll talk about that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, and I really mean don't forget, this is a unicorn of an interview. Brent Musburger, one-on-one exclusively with Billy Walters. The full interview on our website at VSiN.com. Roxy Roxborough with the money quote on primetime action reacting to this interview and really describing his experience with Billy Walters over the years by saying, is he the greatest handicapper who's ever lived? Maybe. Is he the greatest sports bettor who's ever lived? Unquestionably. That is the money quote. Brent Musburger, one-on-one with Billy Walters. Full interview only on VSiN.com. Check it out there. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here. First of all, Jeff, I never had a chance to ask you, do you agree with my two premises? One, that, just two macro things. One, that the Rams win this game in spite of Sean McVay. That's A.
Yes, 100%.
No. Completely.
I was talking with my dad about this after the game. There has never been a run in the postseason where a head coach, legitimately, the Rams' run here, after the first half in Tampa, where it was perfect in that first half in Tampa, they blew a 24-point lead. McVay called it. Everyone killed Brandon Staley for that timeout at the end of the Raider game. The timeout McVay took against Tampa was 100 times
horrible.
Worse.
Horrible.
100 times worse. Neglects all of his timeouts. He was out of timeouts with 10 minutes to go in the NFC title game. And then until the final drive was a disaster yesterday.
And yet he's the youngest Super Bowl winning head coach at the age of 36, which is probably a record that's going to last forever. Because that's pretty darn young.
It could be pretty hard for anyone to break that.
36, and may retire for a few years. Why not? Go into the booth. Wants to have some life balance with the family. Sure, why not? Could coach if he wants to again. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see with that. And then the other one is this thing again. I used to, you know, Philadelphia Eagles fans get after me because I always say when they won the Super Bowl, what's my line? I would say, and the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl with replay rules from the future, right? Well, this is not quite the same thing, but this game was just officiated in a way that the entire regular season wasn't, right? So it, like, for the fan, there was a little part of me watching this game yesterday. And by the way, it wasn't a masterpiece. We can agree on that, right? That game was not a masterpiece yesterday. There was part of me where my mind drifted to being like, well, why do we have to endure a regular season? I mean, remember the Raiders-Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game, just to use an exaggerated example? Were there 28 flags in that game? 28! I mean, you could call that every game, I think, if you wanted to, right? If you were just so inclined. But this was great. Just very few flags. And yes, by the way, the Bengals and the Rams were among the least penalized teams in the NFL this year, so there is some basis to it. But, I mean, that occurred to me yesterday where I'm just like, oh, I wish more games were like this.
Well, you know what? You noticed it as the postseason went along.
Yeah, the postseason was pretty flag-free. With the exception of the
wild card weekend was a disaster.
Well, so there was the only one game, right? Because the Raiders-Bengals game was bad because the officiating was clunky, not because there was a lot of flags.
Right. But really starting with the Kansas City Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Where John Hussey and his crew got out of the way.
Love
completely.
It.
Completely.
Got out of the way.
It was perfect. And then the championship games, I thought Bill Vinovich and crew did great in KC. Cheffers and company did as well as Carl Cheffers can do in the Ram game. And then, the Higgins thing, that was a missed call. Obviously,
yes.
They missed that.
Yep.
The hold at the end was not a hold. But other than those two calls, let's face it, the two of those calls ended up washing each other out.
Did it feel makeup-y to you?
I think they saw the hands go on Cup where he didn't hold. You could have technically called illegal contact, but you don't see that called much anymore.
Just think about the thin margin between victory and defeat. Because, right, if that doesn't get called, it's fourth and goal from the eight. The Rams could very well lose. We don't know. They still had their timeouts,
right? They could have also hit Cooper Kupp for a touchdown on fourth and goal at the eight.
Well, I mean, there's so many of them, right? Right, and there's, you know, if the Bengals get the yard on second and one or third and one or fourth and one, that goes to maybe overtime at the very least. Maybe the Bengals, I mean, just the thin margin. Just thought it was interesting. Kevin Brown on Twitter. Question, how did Vegas books do all over the Super Bowl? Trying to settle an argument, I think books are happy. Oh, Kevin, they're very happy. Books, consensus. Circa might not have won, but everybody else won, from what I hear. Chrissy Andrews here at the South Point called it perfection, this Super Bowl.
Well, it was
how it landed for them.
It was a favorite that won but didn't cover. And the game went under.
So, Kevin, you win all your bets with all your friends.
Yes,
Books
absolutely.
Did fabulously. NFL handicapper, he says the Pirine spot should be talked about more. Quarterback sneak if the spot is right. Well, NFL handicapper, you would think, but that's the assumption of rational coaching. How many times have we seen, just sneak the ball, and then they don't end up sneaking?
And also with the way that the Bengals' interior line was getting destroyed by the end of that, who knows if Burrow
and also Burrow's injury. Burrow's injury.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing of all that. That's the part that is going to get washed away in history from the Super Bowl. Both of those quarterbacks, like, how are they still in the game? It's incredible. Let's look at Super Bowl futures for next year. We talked about Kyler Murray, nuttiness in Arizona now. Carson Wentz looks to be out for the Colts. Derek Carr is getting an extension with the Raiders. We still haven't had free agency. We still haven't had the draft. Obviously, the Rams, I don't know. Is McVay not going to be the coach? Would that move the needle for you? If Aaron Donald retires, it means everything. Maybe that's going to happen. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? There's so much that we don't know about any of these teams. But, Jeff, as we look at it right now, this is courtesy of BetMGM. Still fun to look at. The Bills and the Chiefs are the short shots at plus 750. That's already noteworthy, right? The notion that the shortest shot is very close to being double digits. Like, usually there's a team or two that are, like the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs, who are at plus 750, they were much shorter than this in previous years. So the Bills and the Chiefs, who played that epic, classic division round game, they end up both at plus 750. And then it's double digits, including the Super Bowl champion, now the defending Super Bowl champion, L.A. Rams, at 11-1. The Bengals, defending AFC champions, 12-1, along with the Cowboys. The public loves the Cowboys. 12-1 for the Cowboys. How about the Broncos at 16-1? What are we doing? Packers at 16-1 because I guess Aaron Rodgers is still there and the Packers are saying publicly they'll do anything to keep him. Well, of course you are. What's your gut tell you about Aaron Rodgers, that he stays or goes?
I have no idea.
I have no idea
No
either.
Clue.
No clue either. Niners are 16-1. Are they really moving on from Jimmy G and going with Trey Lance? They really going to do that? Maybe. Cardinals 20-1. We just talked about Kyler Murray being on the outs. Then Ravens 20-1 with Lamar Jackson, assuming he'll have a full season next year, obviously injury riddled this past year. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, and the Titans, who were the number one seed in the AFC, both at 22-1. Then the Colts, as we talked about, who I guess will have to sign a quarterback in free agency, one would think, at 25-1. Chargers with Justin Herbert, 25-1. Bucks without Tom Brady at 25-1. How are they that short? And then the Brownies in what could be Baker Mayfield's last go-round with the Browns at 30-1. Anything at all, and this is the ridiculously way too soon before the draft, before free agency thoughts on this, Jeff. You're thinking about one team, aren't you?
No, look, it's very difficult without seeing it. We flipped it over to the longer shots as well there on your screen. There you go. Your Commanders on the board. It's still odd to see that, Gil.
Doesn't their logo look like one of those things that like a restaurant serves tacos in?
I haven't thought about it that way.
It's awful.
I will say this. If we go back to the original page, I just wanted to show that for folks at home for seeing what other teams are. There are so many questions to be answered because if Green Bay gets Aaron Rodgers back, the Packers are the obvious bet. Because
they're
the obvious bet if Rodgers is back. Because obviously, you'd have to be quick on that because that would be Rodgers comes back, that number dips probably to 10-1 or 11-1 equal with the Rams if Rodgers comes back. But other than that, it is really difficult because the AFC there are so many good quarterbacks in the AFC.
Well, we'll get into that.
Which we'll get into in the next segment.
Like, where are the Steelers on this board?
They were 40.
40
which, by the way, I will tell you, Gil, don't bet. We love BetMGM, obviously, the sponsor of our show. There are significantly better numbers than 40-1 out there on Pittsburgh.
Oh, always shop around with all of these. You're going to see some better numbers at different books that have worse numbers than the book that another team had a better number on, if that makes any sense. Basically, shop around for all of these. But you know, the Steelers are interesting, right? Because they're no more Big Ben, but the defense has a lot of great players. And there's Deshaun Watson looming on the horizon out there somewhere. I guess we should assume, again, bad with that word, that he'll play somewhere next year. Maybe, I guess. And there are teams, I mean, I guess the question is there a team where he could end up which would immediately trigger a Super Bowl bet for you or a conference bet? Like, if he ended up in Pittsburgh, would you immediately bet the Steelers to that number?
Yeah, I would. The one that comes out, though, on the NFC side, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Now, of course, you'd have to beat the books to the punch on that, right? Obviously, once that news is out, that number will be adjusted. But that, I mean, there's so much of that. If Aaron Rodgers decides to leave, you'd have to get ahead of that. But that's what's going to make this offseason fabulous, and that's even before, you know, the draft and that kind of thing. We'll come back. This notion of, oh, look, Bengals fans, don't worry. I know you lost the Super Bowl, but you'll be back. Let's talk about that. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. BetMGM, proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if three-pointers made in the game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. Tim Fraley responding to our last segment on Twitter. He said the Colts for sure he would bet on if Watson went there. Oh my goodness, I would too. Are you kidding me?
There's a negative chance that they would trade him within the division.
That is correct. That will not happen. One would assume. But that is that would be an awesome pairing for sure. So again, for those who, because on the Megapod we talked about the first song during halftime, we got that wrong. We thought "Lose Yourself." It ends up being I always forget the name. It ends up being the Dre jam. May I say Dre jam? Snoop and Dre. The next episode ends up being the number one song. My whole thing is, because did you think the halftime show was great? Where did you rank the halftime show among all Super Bowl halftime shows?
I thought it was the best one since Prince, personally.
Best since Prince? Wow.
Yeah. Prince is still the gold standard for me.
Playing his guitar in the rain.
He is so good.
Singing Purple Rain in the Rain. Having no instinct at all to leave the stage with all the possibilities of electrocution. He's like, I'm playing. I believe is how he said it. I will say this. I just generally speaking, I don't say this very often. I just have an issue with, like, I am a colossal sports fan, right? I am a colossal sports fan and sports better. And then, on the other hand, I'm a big music fan. I do not need big halftime shows to hype me up for the sport of football. Just like if I'm at a concert. If I'm at a Bruno Mars concert, Jeff, I don't need to watch Boomer Esiason breaking down film in the middle of it. I just don't understand, like, why people get into that
kind
of thing. It
would be an amazing event to sell there, Gil.
Could you imagine if Bruno was like, just a little break right now, y'all. It's Boomer with the X's and O's. I just don't understand that. Like, why do we feel the need to get hyped up like that by a show? Anyway, we got to watch it during the middle of the BetCast because we threw it over to Stormy in the middle. But I thought Eminem should have gotten more juice for sure in that. All right, so here's the deal with everybody saying. Now, you said you've heard this, and this is all anecdotal. So the Bengals lose the Super Bowl by 3 points. Again, congratulations to the Rams and the Rams money line backers. And the Rams, good for them, going all in and winning it. How many times have we seen teams go all in sports and they don't end up winning it, right? But the Rams got it done because those guys still kept their eyes on the prize the whole time, man. The Eagles didn't get in the way. The Rams got it done. Good for them. So they deserve a lot of applause for that. And that's why, by the way, you got to applaud the Sixers for going after James Harden, whatever they gave up for him. Same sort of concept. You can't waste the Joel Embiid year. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but good for them for going for it. But then there's the Bengals who lose. And it's Joe Burrow's second season, obviously his first season marred by a horrible injury. Let's hope that what happened to him yesterday does not result in a horrible injury. And so a lot of people, all I've heard is, well, don't worry, they'll be back. They're going to be back multiple times. Jeff, you said you've heard equal on both sides?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit more than I would have expected on the other side of that as well.
Well, I just, for all the people who think it's just a done deal that the Bengals are going to come back, again, let's just go through the AFC quarterbacks, right? Patrick Mahomes, he's still the Chiefs quarterback, right?
I'm going to check, yeah.
Josh Allen's in Buffalo. Justin Herbert's in Los Angeles. Lamar Jackson's in Baltimore. And that's not even mentioning the Titans, who were the number one seed this past year. It's not even mentioning, is Aaron Rodgers coming over to an AFC team? We're not talking about the Patriots with Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. And then there's another tier of quarterbacks, right? Tua's in Miami, Derek Carr is in the Raiders. Like, these aren't dregs teams and quarterbacks either in the AFC. The AFC is so top-heavy that the notion that the Bengals are going to get back to the Super Bowl, and like people are like, ah, fait accompli. I don't know if they're talking French, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a done deal that it's going to happen. I'm thinking to myself, if you told me how many more Super Bowls will Joe Burrow get back to? If I set it at 2.5, what would you go, over or under?
What, including yesterday?
No, not including yesterday.
Not including
two and
yesterday?
2.5 more Super Bowls he would get to. Forget about winning.
I'd probably go under.
I would go under, too.
That 3 would be the number. But look, here's the other thing. You didn't even mention, the number 1 and number 2 overall picks in the 2021 draft are both in the AFC as well, quarterbacking-wise. So what happens if Trevor Lawrence takes the leap? What happens if Zach Wilson is good? The amount of good quarterbacks in that conference are just so good.
Man, that was a Jets fan talking.
No, I got to convince myself of something, don't I?
Wow.
But
interesting.
But look, I'm just saying, there are so many good quarterbacks, as we've said.
Yeah, it's
that
ridiculous.
It just maybe, and also, too, Gil, the Bengals took advantage this year in the AFC North of the Steelers having horrible quarterback play with Roethlisberger. They took advantage of the Ravens blowing it at the end of the season, losing their last 6. A big part of that was they were so battered that they didn't have a lot of talent left. But Lamar Jackson healthy, an MVP 2 years ago. Like, it's not even a guarantee that they come out of the division next year.
That's a great point. And then I would go even to the postseason. Think about how the Bengals got here, right? There was the whistle before the touchdown against the Raiders. There was the, remember the Titans game, remember the Titans game where Zach Taylor is frantically calling for a timeout before the Tannehill pick that ended up being the deciding play of that game. The refs don't notice it. They just had this unbelievable string of good fortune too, right, in the postseason as well, where, listen, things have to go your way. I still contend that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl last year. Why am I emphasizing the wrong syllables, by the way? That the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl last year by this unbelievable royal flush of good luck, too, right? The Jared Cook fumble from the Saints which we still shake our heads about. How about the Jedi mind trick on Matt LaFleur and the Packers in that game in the playoffs? So you have to, in this day and age, this is not the 80s, right, where the Niners dominate or the Washington football team dominates or the Giants dominate or the Cowboys in the 90s. This ain't that league anymore. This is a league where Pete Rozelle's dream of parity is in full bore. And in the AFC, it is a cluster of teams. So the notion that the Bengals will get back to, they'll be back. Joe Burrow will be back. Really? You think that's like a done deal? Now, Joe Burrow's phenomenal, right? We all love him. We all think he's great. But I would say it's less likely for him to get back than it was for Dan Marino to get back with the Miami Dolphins, who also got to the Super Bowl in his second year. And we, those of us who were still, who were around back then, were like, oh, he'll get back multiple times. Never got back. It's way harder for Burrow to get back to me now. You're shaking
your head. No, again, it's just a matter of what you think of these teams moving forward. And again, like,
by the way, Burrow gets back to 4 or 5 Super Bowls, get this tape. Because would that surprise you also? It wouldn't surprise me either.
Look, it wouldn't stun me either. Look,
it kind of would surprise me, actually, yes.
The other thing is, too, just look at the Chiefs. They've hosted the AFC title game 4 straight years.
Yeah.
They only made it 50% of the time.
Gotten twice, won once.
So 50% of 50% on both for Kansas City.
Yes.
So it just shows how hard it is. And again, all of this is just going to prove as we go through history here just how big of a historic anomaly what New England did for all those years, winning all those Super Bowls, getting to the AFC Championship game basically every year for 20 years. It just what Belichick and Brady did in New England is going to be unparalleled through the history of the league.
Yeah. And the fact that he got to, 17 divisional round games in his career, 2 with the Bucs, 15 with the Patriots. And I would argue, and this is probably the appropriate way for me to go on vacation, but I would argue that what Joe Jackson Gibbs in Washington did with 3 different quarterbacks, winning 3 Super Bowls, might be the greatest achievement of all time, right? Because that's even more unbelievable that you didn't have the parts in place and still managed to win 3 over the course of a decade. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think it's a done deal at all for the Bengals to get back. But let's just go back to that draft prop we were talking about. Once we get to draft props, and the draft is right here in Vegas, cannot wait. But the Bengals, assuming they don't go crazy in free agency and pick up 3 offensive linemen, the Bengals to draft an offensive lineman first, my goodness. Imagine if they have an offensive line. Whew. Listen, not saying they won't be a contender. I'm just saying a lot still has to fall your way to get to the Super Bowl. Hope you won all your bets. Hope you won a majority of your bets. Hope you made money. Oh, by the way, tennis picks for the next 2 days. Ostapenko on the women's side, Jack Sock on the men's side. Those are both tomorrow. Ostapenko and Sock. Have a good week. Jeff's in this chair tomorrow from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You could trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.